It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and DeGenovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Before we jump into our conversation about roadkill, literally Dave came in today and he said, Deb, I want to talk about roadkill.
Yeah. Ugh. It's fascinating.
Do you have a special announcement?
Okay, just more of a reminder than anything, than an announcement. Oh. I'm just telling you, Debbie, I don't know if you're watching football right now, but if you're not, BYU football yeah. is on fire.
I know. I've heard about it. They beat my Devils last week.
Beat your Sun Devils. Beat the Utes the week before that.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to remind everyone that KSL's pregame coverage of the BYU-Southern Florida game starts Saturday at 6. That's hosted by Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. It's brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank.
I'm excited for BYU. They're on a roll.
You say that, I don't know if I totally believe you, Sun Devil.
So last night, we went to bed. Well, in separate beds, in separate homes. That's a
you went to sleep and I went to sleep.
That's weird.
We collectively, as a nation, as a state, went to bed. Don't read into it. Sorry. There was this beautiful picture.
Thank you.
Go ahead, catch your breath. There's this beautiful picture. Okay, let me paint the picture for you.
Please do.
There was this bull moose. It was wading in a fountain on the campus of Weber State University.
Aww, so
it was
sweet.
A beautiful picture. Weber State tweets out this picture.
Stop it.
And they
it
say,
not.
Good night, sweet moose.
Aww.
Good night, moon.
Well, then I wake up this morning and I learn from Channel 2's morning reporter, Morgan Saxton, that shortly after that photo was taken. Hi, Morgan. She listens to the show. That moose was hit and killed by a car in Ogden.
Yeah. What a bad ending to a beautiful story.
It's
moose.
Horrible.
That's hit dead.
Do you know that's one of my biggest fears?
Moose?
Yeah, come down Parley's Canyon.
Big time.
Oh, yeah. In my sedan? Bam. I don't think I'd win.
Have you ever been near a moose?
Yes. In Grand Teton. My daughter and I hiked Grand Teton all over the place for 7 days, 5 years ago. And we were right there with a moose and her baby.
They're almost right incomprehensibly large.
As close as you and I are.
Well,
reach your arm out. Our hands touch. Yeah.
You were that close?
We were that close.
Yeah, you almost got a stomping.
Well, there are a lot of other people right there, too. But yeah, you're right. I know what to do. I get up. Moose are kind of blind, so you get up by a tree and you sit real
Debbie,
still.
Debbie.
Yeah. Anyway.
You're terrible. You're terrible
why
ideas.
Why do you want to talk about roadkill?
Okay. Obviously, we're sad for the moose, but there's a couple of reasons I want to talk about it. Number one, hitting a moose, do you realize how dangerous it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is. Did you know, I just learned this in the Journal of American College of Surgeons, 13 times more likely for the driver of a car to die hitting a moose than hitting a deer. So we wanted to find out. We reached out to Faith Jolly with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Faith, what do we know about this moose incident? And do we know anything about the individual that hit the moose? What's the condition? Well, I guess we know the condition of the moose. The moose is dead, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, the moose was killed. And it sounds like, just from information I've received from some of our responded, it sounds like the person that hit the moose is okay.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm sure it messed up their car, you know, that they are large, and so it does sound like there was some damage to the vehicle, but yes, the woman that hit the moose is okay.
Faith Jolly with Wildlife Resources on the line right now with us. So Dave came in, into the newsroom today, brought a McDonald's, and that wasn't good enough for him. He was eating the McDonald's I brought him, Faith. And, you know, you worked with us here at Broadcast House, so you know Dave. I mean, he's all focused on eating a McDonald's. And in the same breath as he's eating this third or fourth hash brown, not sharing with anybody, he says to me, I want to talk about roadkill. I want to know what happens to this moose after it was killed by this car. So, for the...
Hold on. You're skipping about 12 parts of that story, Debbie. The reason I wanted to talk about roadkill is because my son lives up in Alaska.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very big deal. If a moose gets killed in Alaska, they allow you to harvest the meat.
What?
Literally, citizens can go pick up the moose and harvest the meat. And I wanted to know, Faith, is there anything on the books? Is that a possibility here in Utah? If you hit a moose, can you harvest the meat?
Yeah, this is an interesting topic and actually a question that we get fairly often here in the state. So, yes, in fact, there is a law, some of our wildlife code in Utah. If somebody hits a deer, elk, moose, whatever, it can be handed over to that person who either hit the animal or found it. Maybe they just came upon this fresh roadkill that was just hit. However, there are a couple stipulations. They do need to get a donation slip from us, from the Division of Wildlife Resources, to be able to legally take that wildlife and kind of harvest it. And the antlers or the horns of the animal cannot be kept. So this does come up from time to time. And in the case of last night, our staff were able to respond, you know, right after the moose was hit. And, you know, it was still fresh enough. And so we were actually able to harvest the meat, and it was donated to a family in the area. We also kind of have a meat donation program where we let people utilize some of the meat if it's, you know, in good enough condition, that type of thing.
You have a meat donation program? I had never heard of that, Faith.
We do, yeah. And honestly, not a lot of people have heard of it. We tried to publicize it more during last year when the pandemic first hit, just because, you know, a lot of people were kind of struggling with food security and, you know, finances as there were job layoffs and closures and lockdowns and things. But yes, basically we let people sign up on our website. They can sign up if they're interested in ever getting deer or other game meat that we either sometimes have to seize if it's illegally been harvested, in cases like this where if it's just very fresh, you know, immediately hit, we can harvest it, then we can donate that. Or in instances where we unfortunately have to euthanize wildlife that are causing, you know, property damage or things to ranchers and farmers and things. So we want to make sure that meat is used as often as possible.
How do you determine if it's in good enough condition?
Yeah, so you can usually kind of tell. I don't know if you've spent a lot of time around roadkill. I actually was able to go last year and tag along with some of our staff that do go pick up roadkill from cities and county roads and stuff. And you can usually tell, like, if it's something you'd want to eat or not. We usually don't donate it unless it's like we were right there after it was hit, or it was injured and we had to euthanize it, type of thing. So we know, like, kind of the time stamp of when it actually died. Otherwise, you know, it is kind of questionable. And so in most situations when people are asking if they can keep roadkill, like, we don't advise it. You know, we just say it's probably not safe for human consumption, or it's either been damaged, you know, pretty heavily during the accident, so the meat is unusable. So, yeah, in those situations, you obviously don't want to, like, give it to somebody to consume. But yeah, in some instances, like with last night, we were able to harvest that and donate it to a family.
Well, we learned something new today. Faith Jolly, Wildlife Resources, a former colleague of ours here at KSL. Thank you so much for calling the show and giving us the lowdown and on roadkill. And Dave,
I had no idea.
No, I didn't either. And
no idea.
And this has brought back some really horrible memories for me. Back in the early 2000s, I was on my way to an early morning live shot for KSL 5 TV when I was a morning show reporter. And boy, did I smack a deer right on Wasatch Boulevard. It jumped in front of my car, and I dragged it the white ways. And I got out of the car, and and I just broke down in tears, and I called 911, and they sent the police, and I called my husband, and he came flying over with our daughter in the back seat, and she pulls up with him, and I get in the car, and I'm crying, and my daughter says, "Oh, no, Mommy killed Bambi." She was about 3 years old at the time.
Oh, salt in the wound.
There's no way we would have harvested Bambi.
You would rather have it go to waste. Good to know. We want to hear from somebody. I'm trying to remember. Did they view it? Did they see this moose get hit? We're going to find out coming up in just 3 minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story, the struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.